Second for the live stream to catch up, but we're going to be in Luke chapter 15 tonight, preparing our children to leave home. Why are y'all shaking your heads for? They never go. They never go. Yeah. All right, we are on lesson number 7 in our study, Under Pressure, and certainly being a family, having a spouse and children is a great blessing from God.
Amen.
Amen. It is a great blessing, but parenting comes with a lot of pressure. And we've tried to make sure that everybody, this hits home with everybody. Some of you are young. You don't have any kids. One of these days, you hope to trick some girl into marrying you. It worked out for the rest of us, you know. They had that momentary lapse of judgment. They said yes, and here we are. But some of you don't have any kids yet. You hope to have kids someday, and I hope the things that you learn here will help you to be a better biblical parent when that day comes. Some of us have kids at home, like me, and we want to figure out how to do this right and do it the way God wants us to do it. Some of you, your kids are grown and gone. You think, well, I'm done, but the reality is as long as you're alive, you still are a parent, and you still have influence over your kids, your grandkids, and so all of us can learn from the things that we're going to study tonight. It'll especially hit home for those of you that have kids at home. Preparing your children to leave home is what we're learning about tonight. There was a man. He had two sons. He had these two boys, and they were really coming to that point where it was time for them to have that responsibility to be on their own. And he did his best to raise them right. But one of those boys decided that he didn't want to be at home anymore. He was ready to get out on his own. Now, he obviously didn't have the maturity that he needed to do that, but he said, Dad, give me my inheritance. I want to go out on my own, and that's exactly what he did. He went out on his own, and he botched it. He fell flat on his face. He did everything wrong. And he was in a bad place in a bad way and thought, you know what? I'd be better off back home. Even if my dad won't let me be a son anymore, I'd be better off as a servant in my father's house than where I'm at today. So he goes home, and what he finds at home was completely unexpected. He expected his dad to meet him with disapproval, to meet him with judgment, to meet him with vengeful response. But something completely unexpected happened.
Amen.
His dad saw him a long way off. And instead of waiting for him to come and meeting him with judgment and wrath and disappointment, he ran to meet him. And he fell on his neck and he kissed him and he welcomed him home.
Amen.
Because his son that had been lost was now found.
Amen.
What an incredible picture of God's love and mercy and forgiveness to his children. No matter how far you get away from God, if you'll turn back to him, he will always, always welcome you home. There's an amazing contrast between a life lived God's way and a life devastated by sin. Now, we're going to look at this account in Scripture tonight from a little bit different perspective. We want to look at this account in Scripture tonight in the parent-child relationship. We want to look at this tonight in relation to this idea. I don't know if you're aware of it, all of you with children at home, and some of us, we got a long way to go to get them out of the house, but that's what we're doing. We're preparing them to leave home. We're preparing them to leave home and live the life that God has called them to live.
Amen.
This is a huge thing. And so many of us, I think, unfortunately, come to the place where our kids are grown and it's time for them to leave home, and we get that to that empty nest stage, and it's almost as if we're surprised by it. Like, oh, gee, I had no idea they were going to leave home. Like, we're shocked. And maybe some of you would be shocked if your kids left home. I don't know. But that's what we're working towards, is to train them up to be the men and women that God has called them to be, to go out and live the life that God's called them to be. They're not going to stay home forever. They're not going to be at home under your care forever. Sooner or later, they're going to move on with their lives, and our job is to prepare them for that day. And by the way, you need to prepare yourself for that day. Now, this parable, this account of the prodigal son, is in Luke chapter 15. I want you to look at verse 11, please. Luke 15, 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. Let's have a word of prayer before we go any further. Father in heaven, as we come before your throne of grace again, I pray your word would speak to our hearts. Lord, it is a heavy thing to be a parent. It's a heavy thing. There's a lot of pressure involved in training up our children in the way that you would have them to go. Lord, to nurture and admonish them in the things of God and to teach them your word and to live by example before them, to show them the right way to live. But Father, as we have this pressure in our lives, I pray that you would help us. There's no way for us to be the parents you've called us to be without your help, without your grace, without the power of your Spirit, the truth of your holy word. And Father, I pray that you would convict our hearts tonight and lead us and help us to be committed, to be obedient to the things we learned from your word tonight. Please open our ears that we would hear and understand, and open up our hearts that we would receive your word and apply it to our lives. Please help me, Lord, for I'm nothing without you, and I pray you'll bless in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Tonight we want to look at the question of how much independence and when. You know, sometimes kids are raised up in a right kind of home. This young man we call the prodigal son, by the way, the word prodigal basically means to be wasteful, because that's what he did. He wasted his substance with riotous living. So this waster was apparently raised up in a good home. His dad was a loving father. His dad provided well for his family. It seems like he had a good home, good upbringing, but when he got out on his own, he went crazy. And you know, we've seen that a lot of times, haven't we? We've seen people that are raised up in a right home, Christian young people go up in a good family, but then they get out on their own, and all of a sudden, it's like they've forgotten everything they were ever taught. They forgot they were trained in a Christian way. They forget that they were taught right from wrong. They get a little bit of liberty, and they use that liberty for an occasion to the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Amen. When young people leave home, it can be a vulnerable time for them, and it's definitely a season of transition for everyone involved. As parents, it's not something we should be afraid of, though. In fact, if we've been doing what the Bible instructs us to do, if we've been using biblical parenting principles, then independence is something we've been preparing our children for their entire lives. We've got to learn to give them some independence along the way, and we've got to learn to do that wisely and biblically. We've got to let them have some independence, but we've got to be careful how much independence do we give them, and when do we give them that independence in their life. So let's look at a few questions that we might want to ask ourselves as our children begin to desire more independence. Now, I'm not talking about when they're three and they say, I do it. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about when they get older in their teens and they're starting to have that desire to have their own identity, to need their own independence, to try to start making their own decisions. Listen, you cannot make all their decisions for them the whole time they live at home. You can't do it. It's detrimental to their development if you hover over them all the time and never let them make their own decisions. Now, do we give them license to sin? Absolutely. We do not give them license to sin. Absolutely not. Sorry, I had a Biden moment there. I just kind of want to quit right now. Let's have the invitation. It's awful. It's on the internet and everything. Hey, guys. Man. Do we give them license to sin? Absolutely not. Thank you. He said, you got to help me sometimes. Like, somebody amen that. Like, what are you doing? Don't bag me up when I say stuff like that. Okay. No, we want to give them liberty. We want to give them the ability to make choices, but we don't allow them to choose sin. Right? So we're going to give them the ability to choose within the bounds of what's right and wrong. Like, you can choose within the bounds of doing what's right. You can make choices, but we're never going to give them the ability to choose sin. Like, that would be wrong. Okay? So, first question. Is my child old enough and mature enough to be independent? Is my child old enough and mature enough to be independent? What boundaries need to be in my child's life to help them stay on the right path? One of the greatest dangers in this time of transition in your kids' lives is to allow them to have too much independence before they're ready. The prodigal son wanted independence, but he didn't want it in the right way, and he didn't want it at the right time. So the question has to be asked, are they ready? Are they old enough? Are they mature enough? Now, there is no magical age to give your kids more independence. Every child is different. There seems to be a perception with some people, like when they turn 12 or 13, they're automatically, they've reached this level. Just like in our nation today, we've got these arbitrary numbers, like 18, you're a legal adult. 18, you're old enough to be in the military. 18, you're old enough to vote. Listen, some people are not mature enough at 18 to vote, but they can. Some people aren't mature enough at 50 to vote, but that's a different sermon. Listen, we can't set, listen, you as a parent know your children better, and some of your kids are going to be at different ages when they have different levels of responsibility. Every kid's different, so you've got to look at them. Was it wrong for the prodigal son to want independence? No, as you grow up, you have that desire, and as you mature, you have that desire to have more independence. That's not wrong. R.B. Roulette says about junior high, most of us want to start picking out our own clothes and doing our own thing and kind of going our own way a little bit. A lot of times when we get to that junior high school age, we're like, we've got this attitude like, I got it. Like, I got it. I got this. I don't need you, Mom. I got this, Dad. I got it. Now, can I ask you a question? How many times that you said, I got it, did you not got it?
Amen. Amen.
I could tell stories all night about times when I said I got it, and it didn't work out so good. I didn't have it. So sometimes your kids are going to want independence, but if you recognize that they're not old enough, if you recognize that their maturity level's not up to that level in independence, you have to be willing to say no. I know it's 2020 in the United States of America, and this may come as a shock to some people, but you don't always have to tell your children yes.
Amen.
Like, my mom knew that she could say no, but some parents today don't know that they could say no.
Amen.
Telling your kids no isn't easy, but sometimes it's the best way to protect them.
Amen.
I want to give you an example of dating, and my kids aren't there yet. But there are parents in America today, their kids are dating when they're like 12 years old. Okay? I just would submit to you that a child dating when they're 12 years old, in my opinion, not so humble opinion, is insanity.
Amen.
Listen, relationships, dating relationships are to lead into marriage. And if you're light years away from marrying age, then what's the point of dating? So what you're going to do is introduce your children to an entire world of heartbreak
Amen.
And temptation
Amen.
That they don't need.
Amen.
They don't need. And I don't care what's on Netflix and what they promote, but they're too young for that.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. I was hoping a couple of you would amen that. Listen, when kids are teenagers and they get into serious relationships, and you may look at it and go, well, it's just cute and it's innocent or whatever, but I promise you, they're putting their hearts into it.
Amen.
They're giving away pieces of their heart, and it's serious to them. And and when they date seriously for a long time, it just introduces more opportunity for more temptation.
Amen.
It's dangerous. It's dangerous. We want our children to be pure. And chaste.
Amen.
Okay, let me try that one more time. We want our children to be pure
Amen.
And chaste.
Amen.
If you guys aren't amening that loud, there's something wrong with you. I'm just telling you. I want my kids to be pure. Amen. I want my kids to be chaste. I don't want to be my children to be what I read about online and in the papers and in the news. I don't want my kids to be doing what I read 4th and 5th and 6th graders are doing in America today.
Amen.
Guys, come on, wake up. It doesn't have to be that way.
Amen.
Your kids do not have to be sexually active when they're in the 5th grade. It doesn't have to be that way.
Amen.
They can stay pure all the way to marriage.
Amen.
Doesn't matter what the world's doing. We can do what God calls us to do.
Amen.
Okay. That shouldn't have been so hard to beg for an amen for, guys. Come on. We're talking about our children here. This idea in the world today that it's fine to date at any age is common in churches. But I don't think people stop and consider the potential consequences.
Amen.
We've got to stop and think about what those relationships lead to. Okay? Some of you are acting really uncomfortable right now, but I just think that it's important that you understand when boys and girls get together, boys and girls do certain things together, and we need to guard against that.
Amen.
And it's idiotic for us to think that they can just be together and things aren't going to happen. That's dumb.
Amen.
So if you're going to let your children be in relationships and they're not married, then there's no reason for them to be alone together.
Amen.
All right. No reason. So, if little Billy wants to date Susie, and they're teenagers and they want to spend time together, then hey, I've got a great idea. Why don't you have them come spend time together at your house?
Amen.
Amen. In your family room. All together. Play some board games together. Spend time together. Hey. Listen, if your son is going to date this young lady, then they need to spend time with you anyway. And if your daughter is going to date this young man, you need to spend time with them.
Amen.
Hey, give the boy a chance to figure out if he really wants to marry into this or not.
Amen.
You know, the good thing right now is the people watching online have no idea who I'm staring down right now. Listen. Some people think experience is the best teacher. That's not true in every case.
Amen.
How many of you could testify tonight that you would rather have learned some lessons in your life, not by experience, but by the Word of God?
Amen.
How many of you could wish you could go back and slap yourself a couple of times and say, hey, listen.
Amen.
You don't want to go through this. You don't want to go down this road.
Amen.
Experience is a hard teacher.
Amen.
There are a few lessons that are better learned by experience. We know that. There are some things in life that it's okay to learn by experience.
Amen.
But there are some things in life that I don't want my children to experience.
Amen.
R.B. Willett says this. I like to say that I've been delivered from a life of drunkenness, idolatry, addiction, and immorality. I was delivered from all those things before I ever did them, in part because of the protection and guidance of my parents. Isn't that good? Hey, listen, you don't have to be into immorality to be delivered from immorality. You can be delivered from it because you had parents who loved you and taught you the right way. Isn't that good? Hey, did you know that you can have a joy-filled life without all that mess?
Amen.
It's crazy. Next, can my child pay for his independence? Can my child pay for his independence? Hey, Dad, would you buy me a car so I can drive it around anywhere, anytime I want? Mom, I want to be free and live on my own. By the way, here's my laundry. Could you get that done for me before tomorrow morning? Dad, listen, I'm old enough to go to college now, and I don't want you to keep, watching over me. I don't want to have to tell you what my grades are, and I want to make my own decisions. But I'm a little short on cash. Can you spot me some money? Right? Oh, yeah, some of that hit home. I want my independence, but I need you to fund it for me. Independence requires responsibility.
Amen.
And just to be practical, responsibility requires money.
Amen.
Right? Listen, if your kid wants to, and your family can do whatever your family wants to do, but I'm telling you right now, they need to learn to pay for their independence.
Amen.
They have to.
Amen.
That's reality. The prodigal son didn't say, Dad, I think I'd like to go make my own way in the world. I'd like to get a job and start paying my expenses. You know, listen, Dad, I'll pay for the rent on my own apartment. I'll pay for the insurance on my car. I'll buy my own gasoline. I'll pay my own dental insurance, my doctor's bills, all of my food and clothes. It's time for me to stand on my own 2 feet. That's not what he said. That's not what he said. You know what he said? Give me. He said, give me. Verse 12. The younger of them said to his father, give me the portion of the goods that falleth to me. We need to instill responsibility in our children.
Amen.
We need to teach them to be wise stewards of their money. We need to impress on them the importance of being hard workers.
Amen.
Now this is going to, some of you are not going to like this, but I say a lot of things you don't like, so I guess we all should be used to it by now. If your children are lazy, hold on. You ready? If your children are lazy, it's not their fault.
Amen.
If my kids are lazy, that's my fault.
Amen.
See, it's in their heart. That's some of the foolishness that's bound up in their heart. That's some of the foolishness that we're supposed to drive out of them.
Amen.
If they're lazy, listen, they're hardwired that way. They're born with a sin nature. They're made to be lazy. We all are. And if you don't have parents or guardians in your life that love you enough to teach you the responsibility of hard work, then that's on them. It's our job to teach them to be responsible.
Amen.
It's our job to help them be hard workers. Listen, the most important things in life don't come easy.
Amen.
You ought to teach your kids not to spend money they don't have. I got to break it to you. The American way isn't the best way.
Amen.
I'm always astonished, and I've talked to a few people about this later. When I went to college, the first day on campus, it was, you know, there's all kinds of stuff going on. You got the fraternities and the sororities out there trying to recruit people and stuff. But I'll never forget the first day on campus when I went to college, how many credit card companies there were everywhere. And they were signing kids up by the hundreds. Free money. Free money. Hey, we'll give you $5,000 credit limit. I don't know who's dumber.
Amen.
I mean, the credit card companies, how long is it going to take them to get that $5,000 back out of those kids? Because you know they rack those charges up in a matter of days. Right?
Amen.
Listen, the American way isn't the best way. So we've got to teach them responsibility. They've got to learn to work. And if they're not willing to help work or pay for their independence, they're probably not ready for that independence. All right, one more question. Am I saying yes to the independence they're looking for just to avoid conflict? Do you ever say yes to your kids just because you don't want to go through the fight? Be honest. Do you ever say yes just because you don't want to go through the struggle? It's going to be a conflict. It's going to be a confrontation. It's going to be a fight. So I'm just going to say yes just so I don't have to deal with it. Listen, we've got to learn to say no when we need to.
Amen.
In this account in Scripture, the prodigal son's father got it wrong. He should not have said yes. He should have said no. Should have said no. We love the fact that he was loving and kind and welcomed him home, but when you look at this in a practical light, it wasn't a good thing to give him his inheritance when he did. Every kid's different. Some kids have no trouble accepting boundaries you put on them. Others will push every limit. Amen. Even if they know in their hearts they won't get away with it, they still will push every chance. We've got to have some boundaries. We've got to be willing to fight the good fight. If your kids are stomping out of rooms, slamming doors, raising their voices, rolling their eyes, those behaviors should not be allowed in your house. But sometimes parents will give in because they're just not willing to fight the fight. So the dad divided unto them his living. You might have a child that's on the verge of becoming a prodigal. You're tired of fighting. You're tired of the tension. But I just want to encourage you tonight, keep up the fight. Keep being a godly, strong parent, even when it's hard. Do everything that you can to prevent your child from making wrong decisions.
Amen.
We only get one shot at this. Some of you may not understand this. You may not appreciate it. You may think I'm dead wrong, but I'm going to be honest with my commitment to my children is, because we just get them for a minute. Right?
Amen.
If one of my kids is going down the wrong road and I have to step away from pastoring, if I've got to move across the country, if I got to move to another country, I will do whatever I have to do to keep my kids on the right path.
Amen. Amen.
You understand that? Like, I have to be committed to that.
That
I've got to do everything I can. Listen, one day they're going to grow up, they're going to make their own decisions, but I want to come to that place knowing I did all that I could do.
Amen.
And they still, I may do everything that I can possibly do, and they still may turn away from God. Someday they're going to make their own choices, but I want to have done all that I can do.
Amen.
Their very eternal souls hang in the balance. Their children's souls hang in the balance. Listen, it's not, if my kids get away from God, that means that their children will probably not serve the Lord.
Amen.
That's terrifying to me.
Amen.
So we've got to be committed to it. Fight that good fight. Does my child understand the biblical principles behind my rules? Do they understand the biblical principles behind the rules? Verse 13 in our text says, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Now, I still hold that this young man grew up in a home where he was taught what was right, what was wrong, how to do what's right. But when he got out on his own, he abandoned everything that he knew was right. Okay? Now, listen, you cannot expect your children to do something or believe something just because you believe it. As they get older, their actions and beliefs must come from a heart anchored to the truths of the Bible.
Amen.
It is not enough to say, because I said so. I don't want to point my kids just to what I say. Now, that matters, because I have authority given to me by God over my children. So that does matter. But I don't want to stop there. I want them to understand that what we're doing and what we're trying to do, what's right, what we say is right and wrong, the rules and regulations that we have at the Slape House are based on the Word of God. That there's a biblical principle to what we're doing, to what's right and what's wrong. And listen, friends, if we can't point to the Bible for why we have this is right and this is wrong, then maybe we need to change the rule. If it's not based in biblical principles. So I need them to get back to that. Dr. John R. Rice told the story of his daughter. She was engaged to marry what seemed to be a wonderful young man. They sent out wedding invitations. They'd given a bridal shower. They were looking forward to the wedding that was just a little while away. The wedding was coming up close, and the young man looked at his future bride and said, I can't wait until I get you out from all these rules and regulations here. You won't have to live by your daddy's standards anymore. She looked at him and said, my daddy's standards are my standards. My daddy's beliefs are my beliefs. And she called off the wedding and sent back all the gifts. Good for her. Listen, I don't want my kids' standards to be my standards just because they're my standards. I don't want my kids' beliefs to be my beliefs just because they're my beliefs. I want those beliefs and standards to come from the Word of God. When young people who grow up in Christian homes suddenly leave what they've been taught, it's because their parents' standards, their rules and regulations never became a heart belief for them. Just what dad said, what mom said, rules, 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 and it was never They never got it in their heart that this is right because God says so.
Amen.
We can't make our children do what's right when they get older.
Amen.
But we can teach them what's right.
Amen.
We can teach them what's wrong.
Amen.
And we can teach them the biblical principle behind it. If our children just look at the rules as a list of do's and don'ts, but they don't appreciate and understand the biblical principle behind them, then one day they're going to be faced with a new temptation that's not on mom and dad's rules of do's and don'ts. And they're not going to know what to do with it. They need the biblical principles to live by. We believe that our daughters ought to dress modestly. Why? Well, because the Bible says so. Well, what does it say? Well, it says that they ought to be adorned with modesty and they ought to be adorned with shamefacedness and sobriety. That they ought to dress in a way that's becoming women of God.
Amen.
See, it's about being humble, shamefacedness and sobriety. It's about being humble and being serious and about not drawing attention to ourselves because as Christians, as Christian young ladies, they want God to get the attention,
amen,
not themselves.
Amen.
The same thing for young men. We get that heart that it's not about me,
amen,
that I want to point the attention to God.
Amen.
That's the principle. That's what it's all about.
Amen.
The Bible principles are what matters. Let me give you an example. Are there certain TV shows that you don't let your kids watch?
Amen.
Anybody get anything that's off limits for your kids to watch? Or you just let them watch whatever they want to? Mm-mm. No. Okay. We got some limits here. We got some standards. Why? Because HBO bad. It's hell's box office, right? Well, it's hard to argue with that, but why? Well, how about this? Psalm 101:3. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me.
Amen.
How about that for a Bible principle?
Amen.
You study your Bible, you're not going to find HBO or Cinemax or Netflix shows like Cuties. You're not going to find any commandment relating directly to them in the Bible. But what you can find is a Bible principle that says, I won't set any wicked thing before my eyes. I'm not going to let the filth of the world stick to me. So we have a Bible principle. Now we can explain that. We can take our kids to the Bible. And we can say, listen, we don't watch things like that because we shouldn't set wicked things before our eyes. Now they've got a principle to go to. Now anytime one of their friends at school says, hey, look at this. Now anytime they're on the computer and they're Google searching for something innocent, but something wicked pops up, they don't stick around. Because they've got a Bible principle to live by. We want to teach our kids to be like the Bereans. You remember the Bereans? Anybody know who the Bereans are? Acts 17:11. Yeah, they were more noble than those of Thessalonica. Why? They received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Sometimes when I teach classes, especially with young people, they're almost apologetic to ask questions. A lot of teachers, I think, in the world today get defensive when people ask questions. I thank God the Apostle Paul wasn't like that. He encouraged people to ask questions, but to look for the answers in the Word of God.
Amen.
Listen, I think we should all search the Scriptures to see whether the things that are taught and preached are right. Because sometimes some dummy's going to get up here and say that we shouldn't, what did I say a while ago? Yeah, we ought to let our kids sin. Absolutely, we should do that. Yeah, somebody's going to get up and say something dumb, maybe not intentionally, but they're going to say something completely wrong, and we need to know what the Bible actually says.
Amen. Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Absolutely. I love it when people ask questions. I'm not offended by that. I don't feel attacked by that. I want people to challenge. I want people to dig deep. I want people to search for the truth. As long as the Bible is your ultimate authority, as long as our kids learn to keep the Bible as their ultimate authority, they're going to be all right. God's word's true. It's right. I'm going to do what the Bible says. And they may study the scriptures and come out with a different standard than you do. They may take that principle, and their standard may be a little different, but it comes from the Word of God, and that's what matters.
Amen.
As your children grow older and become adults, they may not agree with your application of a principle or standard, but if we teach them Bible principles, it's far more likely that they're going to follow the Word of God when they leave home. The prodigal ran into trouble. He wasted his spending with riotous living. And then all of his friends disappeared. Didn't have any friends anymore. So then he ends up getting a job slopping hogs, which for a Jew would be the worst of the worst of the worst. And he got so desperate that he was ready to eat the husks that the hogs ate. And it was only at that point when he came to himself. A lot of times parents assume that when things get tough, their kids will come back. And in some cases, that's true. But a lot of times a wayward child won't come home until they've spent some time in the pig pen. It's important that we give our children a why behind the what. But most importantly, we need to give them the who behind the what.
Amen.
You tell your kid, do this, don't do that. They say, why? Well, this is the reason why. We got a Bible principle here. And that's important, but more important than that is who. The who behind all that we do is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Behind every principle, there's a person. And we live to please the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you very quickly about the roots of rebellion. Some parents have seen their kids turn their back on the Lord. They want to know why their kids have turned away. They want to know why. And it's tough. Man, it's tough. We remember Joshua. Joshua led the people well. But after Joshua died, the people served the Lord till those elders that were with Joshua passed away. And then after that, every man did that which was right in his own eyes.
Amen.
It just took a generation, and they were gone astray, serving other gods. So what happened? Why did they do that? Why wasn't the faith of their fathers real to them? It's hard to watch, and ultimately every child is responsible for their own decisions. But maybe we can look at some roots of rebellion. First of all, a wrong purpose. A wrong purpose. Kids get older, they want to get on their own, and you say, well, why do you want to be on your own? Why do you want to live on your own? And you're not going to hear somebody say, well, I really want to get out there so I can become an alcoholic. I really want to get on my own so I can drink and become a slave to alcohol. You're not going to hear somebody say, man, I want to get out there. I'm really hoping to be a junkie, like the junkies I see around here. I really want to be addicted to meth and stuff. That'd be great. That's what I want to do with my life. You're not going to hear somebody say, hey, I want to go out and I want to find the worst person to marry, like the wrong person for me to marry. I want to marry them, maybe have a couple of kids and then get a divorce. It's like I really want to do that. Nobody says that that's what they're out to do. Okay, well, if you meet somebody who says that's what they're out to do, let me know and I'll adjust my preaching. I remember the commercial when I was growing up. Some of you are old enough to remember it, but you think it's like a Nike commercial? The commercial starts, it's got this guy running, and it's like, okay, it's like Nike shoes or something. And then it pans out, and a police officer tackles him. And the tagline for the commercial was, nobody says I want to be a junkie when I grow up.
Amen.
See, anybody remember that one?
Amen.
And that one stuck with me. You know the one that stuck with me? This is your brain. This is your brain on drugs. Anybody remember those?
Amen.
Hey, listen, those had a profound impact on me when I was a young man. I thought, you know what? That's true. I don't want to be a junkie when I grow up. And I don't want to do that to my brain. But I do want some eggs now. Okay. People don't go out with that purpose in mind, so why does it happen time and time and time again? Nobody likes being told what to do. We have a natural response to rebel against authority. I know how some of you are. You walk into a building, there's a sign on the wall that says wet paint. And some of you cannot resist touching the wall to see if it's true or not. Uh-huh. I know all of you have been to Silver Dollar City, but most of you have, and there's a knot hole in the wall that says, do not look. And every one of you who have seen that knot hole with the sign that says, do not look, have looked. Right? There's just something in us. We don't want people to tell us what to do. Now, it's not wrong for young people to want to be an adult. It's not wrong for them to want to make their own decisions. We ought to motivate them to move forward in life, to chase what God's got in store for their lives. The problem happens when the motive for leaving is a dislike of being under the authority of someone else. Their purpose is to be outside of authority. And here's the problem with that, friends. You are always under the authority of God.
Amen.
Whether you like it or not, whether you acknowledge it or not, God has authority over your life. And so we need to learn to teach our children to respect authority,
Amen.
Ultimately God's authority.
Amen.
There's a wrong purpose. There's a wrong perspective. Wrong perspective. Sick and tired of being told what to do. There was a young man who said, I'm sick and tired of being told what to do. I'm tired of my mom. She tells me when to get up. She tells me how to dress. She tells me when to go to bed. She's always yelling about how I'm standing. I'm leaving home, and I'm going to join the Marines. Think that'll work out well? I don't want anybody to tell me how to dress, when to get up, when to go to bed, what to eat, how to stand. So I'm going to leave home and join the Marines. Yeah, that kid needs a reality check. The prodigal thought, I'm tired of my father's house. I'm tired of the restrictions. I'm tired of the rules and regulations. I want to do what I want to do. He thought living in freedom would be better than living in his father's house. But the reality is, when he left home in his immature state, the worst day in his father's house, the worst day in his father's house was better than the best day in the pig pen. He thought it'd be a fun time of freedom, but it turned into a horrific experience because he had a wrong perspective. How many of you remember who Mickey Mantle was? Mickey Mantle? Mickey Mantle, if you didn't know it, he died of liver complications because of years of drinking. Mickey Mantle said this before he died. If I had known I was going to live this long, I would have taken better care of myself. Isn't that profound? We got to teach our children what it's like to be an adult. But with independence comes responsibility. There's a lack of perspective. And there's a wrong preparation. Now, I want to try to wrap it up with this, but I want you to think about this for a second. What are you preparing your kids for? What are you getting them ready for? I think that so many of us, we're so busy with just the way life goes that we don't even really stop to think about it. Like when they're little, right, you got to teach them how to walk. You got to teach them how to eat their food without getting it everywhere. We're still working on that at our house. But you got to teach them to tie their shoes and brush their teeth and all those kinds of things, right? You got to teach them how to put their clothes on right. But then at some point, it's like, okay, we got to know where they can get dressed, brush their teeth moderately well. And, you know, they eat most of the time without getting food in their ears. So we've really accomplished something. They're ready for life. But the reality is we go through life and we lose our perspective. We lose our focus on what is the purpose. What are we preparing these children for? When I was in school, I had to memorize the periodic table. Did anybody else have to do that? A couple of you did? Some of you, it's too much effort to raise your hand. Okay. I know. Stay with me just a second longer. I learned in high school I had to memorize the periodic table. You know what I didn't learn in high school? How to balance a checkbook.
Amen.
I didn't learn that. That would have been really helpful. Would have been really nice to know. So when I was a young man and in college, and when I first got out of college before I was married and had a wife to help me with things like balancing the checkbook, I'm going to confess something to you that I'm ashamed of, but this is the reality of my world. I didn't know how to balance a checkbook, so I didn't try. And so when it got so out of control that I had no idea how much money was left, I would wait about a week or two to try to let all the checks clear. Then I closed that account and opened another one. I did that not once, but twice. That's pathetic. Might have been a lack of maturity, a lack of responsibility, a lack of, maybe, son, you need to just come home. Right? Listen, I didn't know how to handle money. I didn't know how to do those things. Listen, it's our responsibility to prepare. Our kids ought to learn how to do stuff like that. Amen. You know what? Your kids ought to learn how to do the laundry. Amen. Sew on a button. Iron their clothes. Without setting the house on fire. Amen. They ought to learn how to cook, and they ought to learn how to clean. Amen. They ought to learn how to take the money that they earn and give to the Lord. And save some money. Amen. And spend what they have wisely. Amen. They ought to learn those things. We've got to give them some of the practicalities of life, but then we've got to give them the principles. I just want to leave you with that takeaway. Listen, they need to know the why behind the what. But most importantly, above all, they need to know the who behind the why. Amen. We've got these principles. These precepts and principles, but we've got to help them know the person, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's prepare for a verse of invitation. If you would stand with me.